That's the one thing all great teams have in common.
Great coaching.
Try to suck up to me, Andrew.
Hey! Goldberg! I bet if that talk was a cheeseburger, you'd stop it!
No, I agree. I would not be an acid physically. I have more of a podcast body.
Quack! 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 Quack!
It's the Quack Attack Podcast.
Hey, everybody. I hate hockey and I don't like kids. I'm Mike. That's Tommy.
Hello, everyone.
That's Kevin.
Hey, y'all.
Welcome to the Quack Attack Podcast, the definitive Mighty Ducks podcast. We are back. A little weather hiatus and whatnot, but we are back. We are safe. And a lot of news is popping up here. We've got about a month. We're coming down on the month countdown for Mighty Ducks game changers. You know, there's screeners going out. We did not secure one. There was a panel for the Television Critics Association. Apparently, I don't know if our application to join the association got lost in the mail or what, but we'll figure out why we weren't invited to this panel. But yeah, they're doing some PR. They just released another official trailer, 2 minutes and 41 seconds for this trailer. Just initial thoughts from you, Tommy and Kevin, about this trailer.
Well, first off, I have a little housekeeping that I need to make everyone aware of. So we are recording about an hour after that new trailer dropped, and it's thanks to Kevin's shitty internet at his place / lackadaisical attitude toward work that has allowed us to do this. So really good timing. So Mike, I think you owe Kevin an apology for how much you've blamed him for his absence and for delays in recording. So let's get that out of the way.
Yeah. Thank you, Tommy. Thanks for having my back.
That's fair. That's fair. I apologize. I assumed Kevin was moving up the career ladder and becoming an important piece of his company, but he is now at a patio. I believe he just took a drink of alcohol. I don't know for
got
sure.
Corona. Got a Corona.
Corona. So he can't be that important. So I am sorry. I'm sorry that I thought you were a workaholic and that you were shirking on your responsibilities to the pod. I see that you are the same as ever.
And other bit of housekeeping, as a lot of the listeners know, we are located in North Texas. That's where our main studio is. So appreciate the outpouring of support during the winter storms. Luckily, the three of us are okay. Our immediate family, we're okay. A lot of people aren't, though. So if you can, in some way, volunteer time or money, you know, consider donating to that cause. Or if nothing else, try to retweet some causes out there. So just want to mention that. And maybe we'll get some good karma from that plug there.
Yeah, I'll put some links to donate in the show notes. I'll try to find some of the best ones that I know are doing good work and put some links there in the show notes, because it is a little wild out there. People still don't have water or like clean water and things like that. So yeah, anything you can do to help your fellow human, I think, is good, especially because, hey, we're just a Mighty Ducks podcast, but we can make a difference too. So with that out of the way, let's go back to this trailer. Just initial thoughts here, Tommy.
Wait, hang on. Before we get into the trailer.
Oh, geez. Okay.
So I do want to give a kin update, a kin token update.
Oh, kin. Okay. I was going to skip past the kin token update, but let's do it.
We're on fire, boys. We're up to $54.
Oh, he's made back like a sixth of what he spent on it.
So, Kevin, you got to start thinking about what you're going to do with that money.
Yeah.
Well, I have to figure out how to sell it. For the problem, it's become prohibitive to sell it, because in order to do so, I would have to buy Ethereum to like gas the transaction, is like what it's called. And Ethereum has become so expensive, it would cost me like three times as much money to sell this right now than it's worth. So unless it, you know, keeps rising in value, it's just going to sit there and do nothing.
So what you're saying is you definitely flush $300 down the toilet.
Well, I mean, unless it pops to, you know, be worth tens of thousands of dollars at some point.
But wouldn't, like, what if Ethereum pops to be worth like tens of thousands of dollars too? Would you have to still buy Ethereum?
I'm not entirely sure, because I know that they're like migrating the token off of the Ethereum network. So I don't know if there will be like an easier way to like exchange them in the future. But I tried to mess with it the other day and I was like, okay, this is a bad idea. I'm just going to leave it parked where it is.
Well, if anybody has any suggestions for Kevin about how he can win back his Kin token money, I'm sure he's all ears.
I think we can pitch to Brill for maybe Averman. Like, hey, Averman's character in the future become obsessed with things like Kin token and lost it all. So when they bring Averman back in like season two or something, it can be based on Kevin's life story of flushing money down the toilet and taking investment advice from memes.
That's a good point. We can keep it current. Keep Game Changers current with what's going on in the world. Differentiate it a little bit from the 90s ducks. I like it.
I feel like that podcast kid would be a good candidate for something like that too.
Oh yeah. He's got some like Dogecoin or something. But speaking of the podcast kid.
Wait, hang on, quick question on Dogecoin. How do you not have any Dogecoin? Don't you have two Shiba Inus?
I have one Shiba Inu. I didn't know what Dogecoin was until probably it was too late. And even if when I did know it, I don't know how to buy it. So I've stayed out of the game after witnessing your crash and burn, Kevin. But you know, if it all comes back, I'll give you another apology. All right, let's go to what I was trying to go to 5 minutes ago. This new Mighty Ducks trailer. Your thoughts, Tommy?
So we saw like a rough cut of the trailer a couple months ago, I guess, when it was released. I don't know how long ago it was, but I guess that wasn't the official trailer or something. But similar elements, but you see more about, I guess, the loser nature of these kids getting picked on in school, quote unquote freaks, I guess the popular girl calls them, and kind of like the ragtag. And that's something that you didn't really see in D1 with the exception of like one school scene. And so I wonder how much like off the ice time they're going to have. And you got to figure out, you know, you got, you know, 8 to 10 episodes or whatever. You can't just all have it hockey related. Mm-hmm. So that was one of my big takeaways. The other one is Bombay saying that he's dedicated his whole life to hockey and he's got nothing to show for it. So he must have crashed and burned after D3. So I'm very curious in kind of those two aspects. Those are the two new parts that jumped out to me.
Yeah, he definitely, like, we got the sense that he was going to be in a rough spot. But I do like that he was like kind of angry at hockey, and like that would make sense for his life. And like he says that in the trailer at one point, like he's chased it his entire life or something like that. And it hasn't done anything for him. But I'll put trailer in the show notes too, obviously. But Kevin, your thoughts?
I was just going to kind of piggyback on that. I kind of like the idea that he has like this like almost like toxic relationship with hockey now. Like he like obviously he keeps saying he hates it, but he does still run a hockey rink. So he kind of like keeps it at arm's length, but, you know, doesn't completely remove it from his life because there's obviously some attachment there still. So I think that'll be an interesting thing to kind of see play out.
Question. Do we Sure. think Charlie Conway is dead? Died too soon. And maybe that's why he can't get attached to these kids anymore.
I don't think so, because that would like completely remove a possible future cameo.
Right.
That's like a pretty big cameo.
Nope. He died and the body was never recovered.
He comes back. He comes back out of nowhere. Yeah, so at this panel that Duck called, I'll just do it off the top. Duck called a Joyce at Joyce Inc. 61. She was at this panel. She has a nice thread on the Mighty Ducks panel and kind of what they said at it, a good summary of it. So Duck called to you, Joyce. But at this panel, Brill was sort of cagey on cameos and stuff like that. Obviously, he told us he brought back 7 of the Ducks. It would make sense that Jackson is one of them just because they filmed in Vancouver and Josh Jackson resides in Vancouver. I don't know if he's from Vancouver. I don't know if he's lives in LA now or what, but it would make sense that he could get to Canada maybe easier than some of these other ducks. So I'm willing to bet episode 7, we see Charlie Conway in some form.
I wonder if it's like, do you guys remember the movie Bowfinger with Eddie Murphy?
Yes.
Quick synopsis is it's a filmmaker. He's kind of down on his luck and they try to get this. They've got this screenplay they're trying to do and they're filming it. And they have a lookalike who looks like this big movie star played by Eddie Murphy. And the lookalike is just a nerdy version of Eddie Murphy. And so a couple of times they just like film the real superstar Eddie Murphy, like leaving a golf club or something like that, or going into a restaurant and like shouting lines at him. He's like, what? And so I can imagine them doing that with Conway in Vancouver, just like a drive-by thing, like at his parents' house while he's doing laundry. And it's like, let's get Conway back. And someone just drives by and has a duck call. It's like, Charlie. He goes, what? And then quick cut. And that's how they got Conway back on board.
Nice. I would appreciate it if they did that, if they went through all that. Yeah. Anything else from the trailer here? I noticed the Cardinals are back. They were the team in the red. The Hawks, this was pointed out in the last teaser trailer, they have a new sort of uniform. They have blue and orange, which was interesting. Obviously, you got a rebrand from the dark Coach Riley days, but... yeah, everything else, a lot of the same beats from, so they had a video from Disney Investor Days that sort of leaked on the internet that wasn't supposed to, and then they had sort of a teaser, and then this is their official trailer. So there was a lot of overlap, obviously, between the first two and this official trailer, but anything else on the trailer that jumped out at you that was new?
I think the podcast kid... As far as I can tell, I mean, it seems like he's got some pretty solid, like, comedic timing.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they kind of let him run a little bit, or at least it appears that they do. Maybe kind of in that Goldberg type vein. But it was nice to see him get a little bit more screen time. Aside from that, I guess that was probably the biggest takeaway, aside from like the extra little insight we got into Bombay.
Mm-hmm. So I do think that the goalie is going to be good. So they show somebody throwing like a water bottle at him. He just snatches it out of the air. So maybe that's they're like saving grace early on before they come together. But Tommy, anything else here on the trail?
Yeah, that was a nice little shot there of the goalie kind of, like you said, like swatting away something. So yeah, he'll be good. And maybe that's kind of like, whoa, we need to get you on our team, you know? There is a quick shot of a kid on a skateboard going into a vending machine. So I'm curious about that.
yeah.
I was like, what is he doing? What was his end goal there?
So expect a future podcast breaking that down.
Yeah, it looks like he jumps into the vending machine too. So
yeah, was he trying to break into it? Because it's not like he was trying to jump over
control.
It. Because it was next to a wall.
Control.
I don't know. We'll have to watch it and figure it out. Yeah, so from this panel, just a couple things from, again, our friend Joyce at JoyceSing61 on Twitter. So Emilio just eating a lot is going to be a thing. Joyce's tweet is, Emilio on Bombay now, quote, he's hiding out and eating leftover birthday cakes from kids' parties and pizza. Can confirm Bombay is full Brad Pitt in Ocean's 11 here. So it seems like he's just going to be eating constantly. Another tweet from her, Amelia loves that Bombay is on the show to set up as the truth teller in terms of how he relates to not just the parents, but the kids, in that it's unlikely they'll end up as a pro hockey player. So a little reality here, which I like, in like a kids sort of show. And then Brill says that the theme is team is family and the don't bothers, which we cracked the case. Well, we had a listener send us a video. We didn't really crack the case. We were way off, which is the name of this new team.
We cracked the case.
but that the don't bothers do learn to fly together like the original ducks. So we'll see. I've been doing some work on the back end. I'm going to try to get us a screener, and we can sort of share our thoughts with that with you if and when we see that. We do have sources, though, and we have sources who have seen that screener, and some stuff has come out of that. So Lauren Graham is...
Hold on.
Okay.
Do we want to be spoiling anything?
Oh, interesting.
And I think the answer is no.
Oh.
I think the answer is yes, but...
Should we... Yeah, we could put like a spoiler alert here.
Okay, just... spoiler alert. And Mike will put in the show notes that you can tune back in at X amount if you want to avoid some of these spoilers.
Yeah, I mean, there's really like one that I haven't spoiled already. There's one where like Bombay is eating all the time, essentially. That's
in the trailer, though. He's eating a cake.
Yeah, and then there's like some, you know, throwback lines, but Bombay says that in the trailer too. You know, I hate hockey and I don't like kids. And then Lauren Graham's like, hey, why are you running an ice rink? And he's like, yeah. But I guess the one spoiler / Easter egg, so if you don't want to hear it, skip ahead like, I don't know, a minute, is that Lauren Graham's character is a paralegal for a law firm under the name of Dan Duxworth. So some nice. Sort of relative to the Duxworth fortune, I guess, or the Duxworth legacy. So interesting times. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of that. But yeah, it's the reviews are that it's, you know, it's a pilot and it's Mighty Ducks and it's kind of what you expect. So we'll see. Once we get going, I think once we get deeper into the series is really when it's going to either be good or be bad. So we shall see. Anything else? I think, one thing I wanted to mention, I was trying to think about, you know, how we deal with the, you know, these things are going to come out on Friday. And maybe we pop out the episodes on a Monday. I was thinking maybe Friday night. For our producers, I just have like a quick thoughts emails that I'll send out to anybody who is a monthly donor or has donated a decent amount just in the one time. I'll get your email, send you kind of my thoughts just as a bonus for being a producer, being an executive producer. So we appreciate you. And yeah, I'll give you the Friday thoughts before we record and have sort of a more formal episode. But yeah, we're still trying to figure out how we really tackle 10 weeks of this, because it is almost certainly going to be week to week at this point. That's sort of Disney Plus's whole jam at this point. So we'll see. But anything else before we move on here?
Wait, it'll be released Friday nights or like Thursday or like midnight on Friday?
So I mean, if you do,
that's how Mandalorian was, right? Like it would come out like at midnight on Friday,
right? But midnight, yeah. I mean, Thursday night into Friday,
yeah,
which is how they're doing WandaVision and things like that. So, it says premieres March 26th. I'm sure it's going to be available March 26th. Yeah. So there you go. I'm looking forward to it. We're a month away now. So let's sort of take a short break here and then we can move on as we go to our next topic. We are back, and now we got to follow up on our previous episode here. So last episode, which was a while ago now, I'm not gonna lie, but we talked about the best and worst kids sports movies. A lot of debate about what constituted a kids sports movie. There's still, I feel like, a lot of debate. So I took out all sequels, and I did Kevin's suggestion about only movies that had the genre of family attached to them on IMDb. You can also do a search, by the way. I did a search for the genre of family and sport and full-length feature films. There's like 403 of them, but a lot of them were things that I would not consider part of this. Things like Field of Dreams. Or Cars, But then there were some that like are, I don't know, I could be maybe talked into something like Space Jam. Like, I think it, the question is mainly, is it a kid, like, for our purposes, is it a kid sports movies if the sports going on are played by adults?
So
I vote yes.
So is, well, Space Jam, I don't think qualifies because there are no kids.
Right.
Except for Michael Jordan's kids.
But it's a movie made about sports for kids.
Well, it's more of a movie about life, really.
Yeah. Well, of course.
But like Angels in the Outfield, it's like, it's all adults playing, but the main character is, of course, a kid, and it's his relationship with the Angels. And so right. You can argue this is a kid's sports movie. Space Jam, although it is a family movie, it is like, I mean, how many times is like, you know, Elmer Fudd traveling during that game, right? You know, that's not a sports movie, you know? And it's a family movie. It's like that one, I think, is an easy, like, no.
Okay.
And also, we talked about...
I disagree with that, but...
You think Space Jam is a sports movie, like a kid's sports movie, like in the same vein of like The Big Green?
Yes. I think it's a different sort of category of kid's sports movie. Like, I think there's like the kid's sports movies of the kids playing sports, and then there's other movies that are sports movies that are made for kids. I think it's
just very different. I wouldn't include this as like the kid's sports movies genre that we're going for. You know, just like Field of Dreams is like an incredible sports family movie, right? But that's not the same thing, right?
But that one is kind of weird that it ended up falling in this category. That one seems
you would argue is probably the best if it were like the crossover.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took out all animated movies too, because there's a lot of animated movies on IMDb. But there are some crazy ones. I recommend anybody watch the trailer for a movie called Shaolin Soccer.
Yeah, I remember when that came out. I never saw it, but I remember being intrigued.
Yeah, it's like Dragon Ball Z, but like real action and soccer. Like they like float in the air and kick the balls and it like explodes on people. It's crazy. But did not make the list because it was played by all adults. But there's lots of good nuggets in there. Kevin, did you ever see a movie called... I don't remember the name of it, but it had Kevin Durant in it after his rookie year, and the basic story is he meets a fan who is terrible at basketball, and they both touch this like spiritual basketball, and the fan gets all of Kevin Durant's skills, and Kevin Durant sucks. So
is it Thunderstruck?
Thunderstruck.
Kind of like Space Jam, but in reverse almost.
Well, it's like Mike, where
like
gets
Mike
the shoes.
And Space Jam, yeah.
Yeah. So we have some of those in there. But I would not say this is the most, like, this is a pretty exhaustive list, but I will not say it's the most exhaustive list. So do we want to do top 10 or bottom 10 first?
Let's do bottom 10 first, and then we'll close with the top 10.
Yeah.
All right. Bottom 10. So, coming in at number 10 is a movie called Ready to Run. Not much to go on there. I don't remember it. There's like 40 fucking movies on this thing. Kicking and Screaming, Will Ferrell movie, coming in.
That's like a bottom? I don't know. Maybe I haven't seen that in a really long time, but...
Yeah, I mean, there's a big chunk in the middle. There's no, like, we start getting really into the dregs. I would say the top five are the dregs. Number 9, Perfect Game, the movie Tommy talked about last time. Average rating between Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb of a 48. And then we take a bit of a drop here to Soccer Dog, the movie. Basically, Air Bud sort of. Same vein as Air Bud. A movie called Rebound.
I want to talk about the discrepancy from Rotten Tomatoes to IMDb for Soccer Dog. Like,
yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes is a 61, and on IMDb it's 30.
Yeah. So the Rotten Tomatoes audience just, I guess, loves Soccer Dog the movie, because I take the audience scores. I don't take the critic scores.
I feel like there are probably more people on Rotten Tomatoes that like movies ironically than on IMDb. Like IMDb people are just like strictly rating it as a movie, but Rotten Tomatoes, like, it's, well, they kind of like help determine like the cult classics that are like, you know, the bad movies that people love.
You know, well, I wonder, like, I have to look at like top critics or something on Rotten Tomatoes for this. Like, because top critics, I'm sure, like, a top critic maybe even never even saw this movie.
Yeah, I mean, some of these movies don't have critic scores, so that's why I take the audience scores, because all these movies have audience scores. So that is what, and the audience, you know, is, I feel like, a better representation of what we're looking for here. Mighty Ducks got like a 20% on Rotten Tomatoes, but its audience score on Rotten Tomatoes is 65, so better. So then we go to Rebound and Air Bud tied for fifth at 45 on their average, and then we get this big drop. We get a 4.5 point drop to Most Valuable Primate. We talked about this last episode. The monkey playing hockey. I implore you to watch the trailer. Tommy texted me after and said it was, let me see if I can find that text, because it was quite funny. But as we go on, we move on to the main event is number three. So this came out in 2020, and it is essentially a marketing thing for the WWE. This 11-year-old kid finds a like enchanted wrestling mask and then enters a contest to become the next WWE superstar. So yeah, the text Tommy sent, oh my fucking God, I just watched the trailer for MVP Most Valuable Trimate. So terrible.
First of all, I said primate, not trimate.
Sorry.
But yeah, it is like, I mean, when this pandemic is over, we're going to have like a, we're going to watch this. We're going to get a 30-pack of beer and just watch this and it'll be great.
And then move on.
Get some of that MGD.
Oh yeah.
Some of Tommy's favorite, MGD.
And then we take another 4.5 point drop to Boys Club, the basketball movie we talked about before. So you should like watch this trailer too, because as many people in the IMDb review realm have pointed out, like the sound is off and the filming is off. It's like super low budget, and it was made in like 2001. So it just is like, looks weird. It does have Ham from The Sandlot playing like a middle schooler when he's like 25.
And Beau Bridges.
Yeah. And then again, Home Team comes in with a 26 average. Again, Steve Guttenberg's soccer movie that's not The Big Green. This came out a few years after The Big Green, so I guess he was trying to capitalize on that success. But yeah, terrible. You guys should just watch it for fun. Any issues with this bottom 10? Anything you think we should take out that does not qualify or anything like that?
I think they all qualify. I was a little surprised to see Rebound in that bottom 10, but I'm actually trying to think back if I ever saw it or just saw the trailer. Maybe it was just came out like this is the same movie that's been done, except it's got Martin Lawrence in it.
Yeah. So he's like a hot shot. I just watched this trailer before the episode.
I do kind of remember this trailer.
Yeah, he's a hotshot college coach, and he ends up like throwing a tantrum on the sideline and kicking a ball, and it hits the live Hawk mascot and kills the Hawk, and then he gets banned and has to coach a JV team or a junior high team instead. And obviously, the Mighty Ducks beats go on from there.
The only thing I really remember from that trailer is that he puts Icy Hot under their arms to get them to keep their hands up. Play defense.
There you go.
Stuck with me.
Good technique.
All right. And then number 10. I think this 10 is pretty good with a few exceptions in terms of the top 10 here. So coming in at number 10, Johnny Tsunami.
I'm honestly kind of surprised to see it this high. I mean, I of course loved that movie, but I don't know. It just seems like most of those like Disney movie. Well, I don't know. I guess we've got some others in here that are kind of in that same vein. So
I think a lot of these Disney movies are ones that probably like these all came out like in the 90s, right?
Yeah. Right.
And so we all watched them. And then, you know, 5-6 years later when we're in high school and then later on we go to college and like IMDb, you first stumble upon it. And then all these people who's like, oh, I watched this as a kid. It was great. I'm going to give it that a 9.
Yeah. That
and
makes
so
sense.
Some of the nostalgia factor playing in there from these 90s Disney movies, just because the ones that like the ones that are good are like so much better than the shitty ones.
Yeah. Number 9, Little Giants. Classic. Number 8, HE Double Hockey Sticks. Number 7, Mighty Ducks. Number 6, Going to the Mat, which is probably a little too high. It's about a wrestler, a Disney Channel movie. From what I remember, it was okay, but it hasn't really, nothing about the plot has stuck with me.
I mean, anything with the Lawrence, brother in it, you know?
Moving on, number 5, Motocrossed. We talked about this in the last episode. And then we go to number 4. And the top 4 I think are pretty solid. Brink at number 4.
Love Brink.
Might be a little high for Brink. Yeah. But still classic. Bad News Bears at number 3.
This is the original Bad News Bears, yes.
Correct. The PG Bad News Bears. The remake was PG-13. Number 2, Karate Kid. Great. And then number 1 by a large margin actually is The Sandlot. Sandlot 89 on Rotten Tomatoes, 78 on IMDb, or 7.8 on IMDb, with an average 83.5. That's only movie to go into the 80s. So, any qualms with these top 10 here?
I think like the top 3, it's pretty tough to argue with. And if anyone wanted to put something else in the top 3, it's mostly personal preference. I think, you know, we talked a lot about Remember the Titans, and it's like, it's not like, is it a sports movie? It's, you know, if Remember the Titans was on this list, it would be top 5 for sure. Right. But I think it pure like sports movies, like The Sandlot is number 1. It's sports, it's charming, it's family, you know, it's just good. Bad News Bears is like the epitome of like, that's the first one, that's the genre. And it's good also, you know, Walter Matthau. Karate Kid also is, I think that's the one that might be like, okay, because it's like a unique sport, it's not your team sport. You could maybe argue semantics there, but I think those are the three, like, you know, those are on your podium right there. And like, it's hard to argue against anything, but I think there's like good debate for 4 and 5.
I want to talk a little bit about some of the movies that almost made it into the top 10.
Sure.
That are absurd, but that I love. Like Surf Ninjas being number 14 is insane. But like that has to be one of the craziest movies ever. Also, I would not call it a sports movie because it like they're like learning karate from their grandpa and then fighting crime, basically. Like,
I mean, that's what Three Ninjas do.
I guess, yeah. But Surf Ninjas being that high is amazing to me.
Like Mike being better than, so this is like also looking at the ones that we didn't talk about, but Like Mike is better rated than it isn't. I was reversed, but Angels in the Outfield is like number 25, but Alley Cat Strike is one spot above it, and I was like, that's
yeah,
that's yeah, a stretch.
I'm surprised Angels in the Outfield is so much lower. Also, and I think too, this is just because like these are movies that like Tommy and I love, but like Little Big League and Rookie of the Year being this low seems kind of weird. Like, there's no fucking way in hell that Luck of the Irish should be better than Rookie of the Year or Angels in the Outfield. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, I agree. I think that also gets like the rose colored, you know, Disney yeah. original. It's like, it's,
I remember that being the first like Disney movie like of those kind that I watched when I realized I was too old for those movies. Like, I just remember that one and what's the twin one where they like double teamed.
The Double Teamed is on there, and that's like number 14 on the list.
So I just remember watching those and being like, okay, I think it's time for me to stop watching these ridiculous Disney movies because they just weren't good by that age that I was at. So maybe those ones just missed me, and I don't have those like rose colored glasses for those, but I do find it funny that they're so much higher than these ones that like Tommy and I probably quote like on a daily basis.
Yeah, Big Green being the 11th worst was a big blow to me, but you got to go with the numbers. Yeah. So there you go. I feel like we could even refine this even more if we get some sort of voting mechanism in where the Quackalites can pick, hey, which movie is better. But that seems like a lot of work, something I may or may not do. I don't want to commit myself to that kind of stuff. Anything else here on the follow-up to these best sports movies?
Not that I can think of. I still have some qualms with like excluding things like Space Jam, but whatever.
I guess I'll acknowledge a Space Jam. Yeah, it's a sports movie, but it's just like so. And I'm not gonna pretend that Air Bud is realistic, but it's like it's difficult. If we wanted to rank like all sports movies, like if sports is a central theme, we could. And then I mean, then you get into like the Hoosiers of the world, and
right. then we're just ranking sports movies, which, you know, there's probably a billion lists out there that do that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the Quacklights can tell us their thoughts, and if they have any ideas on how to make this list better, let me know.
I do think, what's one of these movies on here that is just rated as really bad that you guys actually enjoy? And I guess, Kevin, is yours Kicking and Screaming?
It's been a while since I've seen it, but I mean, I remember like entertaining. I think, I guess Air Bud being so low, maybe. I know it's like cheesy and like the premise is pretty stupid, but it's like I just remember that being like a very prominent movie of my childhood.
I think maybe because it spawned so many sequels. I don't know.
Maybe the biggest surprise, I think, is Angels in the Outfield being so low.
Yeah, and that one's also, like, heartfelt. Like, it's hard not to, like, get goosebumps when the entire stadium...
It's got a great cast, and, like that cast is, like, a who's who of, like future and current stars.
It's got how many Oscar winners in it? At least two.
Yeah, the
Adrian Brody and Matthew McConaughey.
Well, and the kid...
Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Yeah.
He didn't win an Oscar, did he?
He's definitely been nominated, I think.
I guess I can literally look it up.
Yeah, Angel in the Outfield, 25th on the list out of 40. Again, like I said, Big Green ranked 29th out of 40. I think it still holds up. Like, it's just a great, fun movie. Let's see. What else is out there? I know there's a lot of love for Luck of the Irish. Luck of the Irish comes in at 17. Miracle in Lane 2 with Frankie Muniz. I remember seeing that and liking that. That's all the way down at 28.
Is that the Soapbox Derby one?
Right. But again, Quacklites, if you guys have any suggestions on how to make the list better or any movies that are not on this list, list will obviously be in the show notes. Let us know. We'll add to it and update it, and try to nail this down once and for all. Other than that, Tommy, did you figure out if Joseph Gordon-Levitt was an Oscar winner?
No, and he's not even a nominee. He has been nominated for 2 Golden Globes, though. Can you guys name the 2 movies?
500 Days of Summer?
Yes, that's one.
Oh.
Inception?
That's not one.
I have no idea.
I don't really know enough of his movies.
The other one is 50-50. And so my hypothesis, that's with Seth Rogen, where like he's got cancer, and 50-50 chance to survive. And so 2010, he did 500 Days of Summer. 2012 did 50-50. So he needs to do a movie that starts with the number 5, and then he'll get nominated again.
Reach out to his agent.
And we'll just pitch him some ideas.
Yeah, we have contacts in the biz now. So I'll reach out and see what I can find. Other than that, thanks to our producers, executive producers, Elsie Barnett, Brian Berg, Alex Shibara, Josh Licht, and Bobby LeMaire. Our other producers, Deborah Chen, Jeremiah Bershey, Adam Ferry, Joyce Ng, Jared Beasley, Lisa Wobake, Anthony Geoffrey, Jeff Fantas, and Matt Holtwick. Again, if you want to...
Wait, Wait, I think you're, did you say Stevie Yanks?
Stevie Yanks has not been a producer.
He definitely sent us money.
Maybe he just sent you money and you didn't tell us.
No, I sent it to you, Mike.
All right, Stevie Yanks.
He sent us $25.
All right, Stevie Yanks.
Which Kevin has promptly spent on Kintoken or Magic Beans.
Yeah, Kevin is hiding this $25 from me. But yeah, duck call to Stevie Yanks for being a producer and just a great part of the show and a part of our lives. Other than that, you can find us on Twitter at QuackTechPod, Facebook.com/QuackTechPod. Go to iTunes, give us 5 stars. Tell us what you think of this Mighty Ducks Game Changers trailer and you know what you think is to come. And remember, ducks fly together.
Ducks fly together.
That's right.
The Quackatech is back, Jack. Oh yeah.
Maybe I did forget to send that to you. I think I'm
after I was praising you at the beginning of this episode, Kevin.